Today we're in Leviticus chapter 9, and we're looking at the priests of the Lord. We don't talk about this much, but we are New Testament saints. We are a holy priesthood. And acting as priests, we don't have a priesthood over us. This is one of the reasons I don't like this language, clergy laity, because clergy means called. Who's called? We're all called, and we're all a holy priesthood. Who do we have over us? We have Jesus, our great high priest. But we don't have priests over us. We are priests. We have a high priest over us. Even the pastor is an under-shepherd. The head of the church is Jesus. And we are functioning as a royal priesthood. So keep that in the back of your mind, because otherwise you go through this and say, okay, well, that's just for the priesthood, Aaronic priest. I'm not an Aaronic priest, therefore I'm off the hook. And this all becomes flyover country, if you know what I'm talking about. Okay, so point one, the priests of the Lord, they are cleansed and purified. They couldn't just come into the presence of God. They had to be cleansed. They had to be purified. That goes for Aaron too. It says in chapter 9, verse 1, it came to pass on the eighth day that Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel. Now we think the eighth day, we think it was the eighth of Nisan. It would have been in the spring, March, April, sometime. And it says, and he said to Aaron, take for yourself a young bull as a sin offering and a ram as a burnt offering without blemish, and offer them before the Lord. Now, it doesn't say in Scripture that the sin offering is to be a bull, but he tells Aaron to take a bull for a sin offering. Do you get the irony there? When's the last time we saw Aaron? The golden calf, okay? He's got to offer up a bull, wink, wink, okay? He's the one who said, well, golly gee, we just threw our jewelry in the fire and this calf jumped out. And when you read a couple of verses before that, he's the one who takes the engraving tool and he's the one who fashions it. Okay? So that was a big sin on his part. And now he's got to do a sin offering. He's got to offer for himself a bull, and then he's got to offer a ram as a burnt offering, whole burnt offering. In the Septuagint, the word for whole burnt offering is holocaustes, or holocaust. The whole burnt offering is for the sins of the people. Before he can do that, he's got to offer for his own sins, all right, before he can approach the Lord. All right, he says, he said to Aaron, take for yourself a young bull as a sin offering, and a ram as a burnt offering without blemish, and offer them before the Lord. And to the Israel of to the children of Israel you shall speak, saying, take a kid from the goats as a sin offering, and a calf and a lamb, both of the first year, without blemish, as a burnt offering. Also, a bull and a ram as peace offerings to sacrifice before the Lord, and a grain offering mixed with oil, for today the Lord will appear to you. Now, we've got all these different kinds of offerings, sin offerings, fellowship offerings, thanksgiving offerings, free will offerings, and there's another interesting thing here. If you do these offerings, the Lord will appear to you. Now, who's the you? He's been appearing only to Moses, right? So Aaron does this, and who's the Lord going to appear to? Aaron. He's not just going to appear to Moses anymore. He's going to appear to Aaron. In other words, you're dealing with the things that separate you from God, and once you've done that, God's going to appear to you. So they brought what Moses commanded before the tabernacle of meeting. All right, that's the tabernacle. And all the congregation drew near and stood before the Lord. Then Moses said, "This is the thing which the Lord commanded you to do, and the glory of the Lord will appear to you." All right, so first thing, they are cleansed and purified. Second thing, the priests make sacrifices for themselves and for the people. Okay, the priests make sacrifices. They've got to follow the instructions for the Lord. Now, I'm going to do a little background here. There was incense that the priest offered in the temple, okay? And it represented the prayers of the people. There was a little incense altar before, in the holy place, before the veil, the Holy of Holies. The priests were not to take any of that incense for private use. They lived in an agricultural environment, and one of the things about agricultural environments is some of it can smell. And so it would be a nice thing to go into your tent and to have incense burning to cover up the smells, you know. Any I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but any of you from the 60s know about incense. You know, they used to burn it to cover up the smell of all the hippies. And it was not allowed for the priests to take any of this incense for private use. That would have been rendering it unholy. Okay? Another thing is, there was a flame that was kept burning on the altar, and the fire that was offered in the temple had to be from that holy fire. You couldn't just take your little starter kit and start a fire and offer up strange fire before the Lord. You got that? We're following the orders that God gave. There was a fellow named Uzzah, and they were supposed to be carrying the ark. This was under King David. Uzzah, they had the ark riding on the back of a cart, which is violation of the Lord's orders. And the ark started to kind of get close to the edge because it was, you know, rattling around on the ark, on the cart. And Uzzah did what? He stretched out his hand to steady it, and what happened? Well, he was struck dead. David got mad at God and offloaded the ark and put it in this guy's house, this random guy by the side of the road up at Kiriat Jearim, and God blessed him. The whole time he had the ark in his house, God just blessed that guy all over the place. He didn't look in it. He didn't touch it. Okay, but David got mad. But see, David wasn't following the orders. They were supposed to be carrying that. The priests were supposed to be carrying it. All right, so we see with Uzzah, you need to follow God's instructions. Okay, the temple is not the place to do the ready, fire, aim thing. You see what I'm saying. Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, when he was in the temple burning incense, and an angel appeared before him, and he was scared to death. Why was he scared to death? Huh?
Thought he'd done something wrong.
He thought it was a death angel, and he had done something wrong. He was going to get struck dead. See? because when you got into the temple, you had to do everything God's way. All right? So, he says, verse 7, Moses said to Aaron, go to the altar, offer your sin offering and your burnt offering. The sin offering is for Aaron, and the burnt offering is for the people. And make atonement for yourself and for the people. Now, what is atonement? Well, repentance is what we do. You make amends. One way to understand atonement is at-one-ment. At-one-ment. Atonement is when the sacrifice has been made and you are at one with the Lord, just as if you'd never sinned. The atonement is what Christ does. The vicarious atonement is He takes our place and bears our sin, and we live in His place, and He made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. How do we get His righteousness? Through the vicarious atonement. And there's some people say, oh, no, 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 that's not right. Well, it is right if God says without shedding of blood there is no remission of sins. You got to do this God's way, all right? You don't go trotting into the holy place with your big butane and offer strange fire for the Lord. You don't do that. You let God make the atonement, all right? He says, go to the altar, offer your sin offering. This is that big altar outside, all right? Offer your sin offering and your burnt offering and make atonement for yourself and for the people. Offer the offering of the people and make atonement for them as the Lord commanded. Aaron, therefore, went to the altar and killed the calf of the sin offering, which was for himself. This is the first time we've seen a calf used as an offering in the whole Bible. Last time we saw a calf, it was an idol. Then the sons of Aaron brought the blood to him, and he dipped his finger in the blood and put it on the horns of the altar. And he poured the blood out at the base of the altar. But the fat, kidneys, and fatty lobe from the liver of the sin offering he burned on the altar as the Lord commanded Moses. The flesh and the hide he burned with fire outside the camp. Then he killed the burnt offering, and Aaron's sons presented to him the blood which he sprinkled all around on the altar. Then they presented the burnt offering to him with its pieces and head, and he burnt them on the altar. And he washed the entrails and the legs and burned them with the burnt offering on the altar. Then he brought the people's offering and took the goat, which was a sin offering for the people, and killed it and offered it for sin, just like the first one. And he brought the burnt offering and offered it according to the prescribed manner. Then he brought the grain offering and took a handful of it and burned it on the altar beside the burnt sacrifice of the morning. He also killed, now this is, the grain offering was a thanksgiving offering. It was a free will thing, all right? Then, he killed the bull and the ram as sacrifices of peace offerings, which were for the people, and Aaron's son presented to him the blood which he sprinkled all around on the altar. And the fat from the bull and the fatty tail, what covers the entrails and the kidneys, and the fatty lobe attached to the liver. They put the fat on the breast, then he burned the fat on the altar. Now, all of this is going according to the commandments. If you read all of the instructions in the book of Leviticus, this is all correct, all right? But the breast and the right thigh, Aaron waved as a wave offering before the Lord. Now, wave offering, all right? This is another one of those free will offerings, and this is a fellowship offering. as Moses has commanded. All right. Now, there's an interesting thing going on here that I was oblivious to until I started studying for this lesson. You know, you read in the commentaries, and a lot of times you don't find anything new. Well, this time I found something new. I'll share it with you. They offer several kinds of offerings in this passage, all right? The first kinds of offerings are purification offerings. Not only for Aaron, but also for the people. And the priests had to go through this too, purification offerings. Another kind were burnt offerings, whole burnt offerings. These were to deal with sin. All right. Then fellowship offerings. See, one of the problems with sin is it destroys our fellowship with the Lord. That's why you need to confess your sins, because you don't want anything to come between you and the Lord. All right. And then finally, you've got the free will or the thanksgiving offerings. These are called the grain offerings. All right? So, you got purification, burnt offerings, fellowship offerings, and grain offerings. And they're offered in a certain order. Okay? Now, this is the interesting thing. In the Old Testament element here, this gets you forgiveness. This is Old Testament. You got forgiveness. What do you do after you've got forgiveness? You are set apart for God's service. I'm talking about the priest now. Holiness. Set apart for God's good service. Then you get fellowship offering, which means you have fellowship with the Lord. God appeared to them. And finally, you've got thanksgiving. God wants His people to be thankful. All right? Now, what does this look like in the New Testament? This is the interesting thing. In the New Testament, remember, we're a kingdom of priests, we're royal priesthood, all right? We've got atonement. Who achieves that? Jesus. Jesus makes atonement for us. Once we've got that, once we've been saved, as we would say, all right, what comes next? Dedication. We dedicate ourselves to the Lord. We lay hands on deacons. We lay hands on missionaries. We dedicate them to the Lord. We dedicate ourselves to the Lord. All right? Then we have fellowship. First John would say, not only with the Lord, but with one another. And then we present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Now, our model in the Old Testament would have been Moses. Our model in the New Testament is Jesus. Notice, this is what we would call discipleship. Is that important for our church and our church plans? Okay, we're to be disciples of disciples. We're to disciple disciples who can disciple disciples. If we do that, we're proceeding by multiplication. Okay? Now, notice that we're following the same order. That is interesting. Now, the next thing that happens, point three, is priestly blessing. All right? After the sacrifices have been made according to the rules and regulations laid down and stipulated by the Lord through Moses, the priest, Aaron, is going to bless the people. All right? Once all of this is done, God shows up. Then Aaron lifted his hand toward the people, all right, blessed them, and came down from offering the sin offering, the burnt offering, and peace offerings. Notice the order there. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of meeting and came out and blessed the people. Then the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. Okay? Not just to Moses. This is what we would call the Shekinah glory. And fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat on the altar. If the sacrifice is done properly, the fire consumes the offering and not you. That's important, all right? When the people saw it, when all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. That's that low bow of obedience, respect. They're worshiping. The Hebrews don't have a word for worship. Did you know that? They have the word bow. It's reflexive and it's intensive. To bow oneself intensely. And they worship. They bowed down and fell on their faces. Now, we've got something that's put into the text at this point as a warning. There are two sons of Aaron. Their names are Nadab and Abihu, and they don't follow the instructions. Okay? And so, they, Nadab and Abihu, don't go there, don't do that. In the New Testament, who gets struck dead before the Lord? Book of Acts. Ananias and Sapphira. Now, the point is, this was the beginning. This was the beginning, and they were supposed to follow the Lord's instructions. And here, Ananias and Sapphira in the book of Acts, it was the beginning. And everybody feared and took the Lord's holiness seriously. Okay? It's in there, it's in Scripture as a warning, you know. You don't involve the Holy Spirit in a lie, and you don't appear before the Lord if you're not following His orders in the Old Testament tabernacle. All right, let's read about Nadab and Abihu. The word Abihu means He is my father. Abihu. Av means father. E, my. Who. He is my father. Who is He? All right. Ab, father. E, my. Abihu. He, father, my, He. Abihu. And then Nadab means generous or willing or free. Okay, generous. Then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it. Okay, now, they didn't get the fire from the altar. I don't know why, you know. Maybe they were drunk, because a little bit later, Aaron is warned about not drinking. The priest shouldn't drink. But we don't really know why they did this. Maybe they didn't want to walk all the way out. Okay, they had these little fire starters. And basically you'd strike iron on flint. The Romans had them too. We still kind of do it, but we use tungsten and stuff like that. But they did not get this fire from the altar. That's wrong. And they put the incense in the censer, and they carried it before the Lord. All right? They offered profane fire before the Lord, which He had not commanded them. Exodus 30, 34 through 38, if you want to look it up. So, fire went out from before the Lord and devoured them. What's going on here? What's the fire supposed to destroy? The sacrifice, all right? But if atonement is not properly made, the fire comes out and destroys them. That's what happened to Uzzah, okay? They're not taking the holiness of the Lord seriously here, okay? And so fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. And Moses said to Aaron, "This is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy, and before all the people, I must be glorified." So Aaron held his peace. What would you expect Aaron to do? Mourn. You'd expect him to wail and mourn because he's just lost two sons. But he held his peace because they did something wrong and they were punished for it. And that's the way they leave it here. Okay, so what does this mean for us? Number one, well, we thank God for His perfect sacrifice. Christ, on the cross, He secures atonement for us. Okay? Except no substitutes. No religion provides atonement. You can go through all the motions and you're still not at rest in your spirit because atonement has not been made except trusting in Christ. I heard a Buddhist fellow, he's a very devout Buddhist, back in 1990, and we were studying through the book of John. He had Sinhalese, I had English. He spoke English pretty well because Sri Lanka or Ceylon had been an English colony. In fact, it was a colony of the United Kingdom about the same year that Georgia was. Georgia was a kind of a penal colony for people who had been in debtor's prison like Australia. And General Oglethorpe was bringing people so they could work their way out of debtor's prison and so forth. Same about year that Sri Lanka, on the other side of the globe, was an English colony. But anyway, and this fella he came in. I looked. He'd gone out. He had to go out to this little outhouse in the back, and you had to watch for cobras and blood-sucking leeches and all that. I only saw three of the blood-sucking leeches. They were all moving toward me. But he went out, and I noticed that in the place in my book where it had a place to sign the sinner's prayer, he had something written. And so I wrote that down, and then I checked it out because I was trying to learn the alphabet. They have this big old alphabet in Sri Lanka, and every time I thought I learned it, but nobody could give me the whole alphabet because there were always these letters that they hadn't mentioned, you know. The thing kept getting bigger and bigger. But anyway, I worked it out. It was his name. And he came back and I said, "Have you prayed to accept Jesus?" He said, "Oh, yes. And for the first time, I have known peace." Without Jesus, there is no peace. "There is no peace, saith my God, for the wicked. But," Jesus says, "my peace give I to you, not as the world gives, give I to you." And it's because of this. He's the only one who can make at-one-ment or atonement. Number two, before we draw near to God, we need to confess our sins, all right? Confess means to say the same. Confess your faults to one another. Luther said at one point, strange name for a priest, one another. John would say, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He doesn't say, if you feel forgiven. He says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. It doesn't depend on us. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is, 1 John 1:9, this is atonement. It has been made by Christ. We need to confess and draw near. And Ephesians 5:26 says, by the washing of the water of the Word. You read the Word of God, and it convicts you, and then you ask God to forgive you and to cleanse you, and that is holiness. Okay? We're set apart for God's good service. We're sprinkled, not with the blood of the ashes of a red heifer, but with the stainless, spotless blood of Christ. Therefore, let us draw near. Since we've got such a great high priest, let us draw near and find well-timed help. Okay? So let us draw near. After we draw near, we need to be a blessing to others. And we need to bloom in the place God planted us. We need to live out our fellowship, not just in the vertical with God. I'm talking John here. Not just with God and His Son, but also with our fellow man. Paul would say, as much as lies within you, live in peace with all. And let them also, even the ones outside the church, partake of the blessings that Christ provides through you. All right? And then finally, we need to be thankful. He likes His children to be thankful. And don't try to serve God in your own strength. You'll burn yourself out. Praise God, the Holy Spirit does not burn out. You are filled with His Spirit. He will give you strength for the journey. He will give you the strength to accomplish what He calls you to do. As the day, so shall your strength be. And if somebody says, I don't see how you do it, then you bear a witness. You say, God is working through me because He loves you. And don't take the glory yourself. All right? Let's close with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this reminder. You want people to bear Your image. You say, be holy, for I, the Lord, your God, am holy. We're going to reflect Your image again, that image that has been occluded since the time of Adam and Eve. Father, You created us in Your image. You created us to reflect Your glory, not to become God, because God is in His heaven and we are on earth, therefore let our words be few, but Father, to reflect Your glory and to glorify You and to give You thanks. And Father, we thank You for calling us to be a royal priesthood. Help us to get our heads around that and understand it so that we can glorify You through service with thankful hearts, because You like to see that in Your children. In Jesus' name, amen.
Guys, I forgot to pass this around. It was in the attendance thing. It was ordering books for the next quarter. So I don't have money to pay for it today, but I put my name down so they'll know how many to order. So I'm going to put it right here. Don't forget. Hopefully, they'll be back in there next Sunday too, before they order it. But try to put your name down if you want one.
You're welcome. I got this at Kohl's. Yeah. It's a color that I was looking for. I couldn't find it anywhere. I went to Men's Warehouse and all these places. Found it at Kohl's for $80.
I think everybody got a hold of that.
I need to sign it. Oh, we achieved all of our objectives. It was a glorious victory. Thanks for doing that last week, because everybody really liked it. So I didn't worry. I was going to take a picture of that.